Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 22?
Tell me.
I'm your host, SBJ.
And it's your boy, Micah.
Yeah, 22.
Okay.
We are a weekly Monster Hunter podcast where we talk about all things Monster Hunter. In this case, been a lot of Monster Hunter World, of course, fresh on everyone's platter. Thanksgiving platter. Real quick, how was your Thanksgiving, Micah?
It was fine. We moved.
You and your wife moved?
We did. We had Thanksgiving on Thursday at my dad's house because it was supposed to be at our house, and we couldn't do it at our house because everything in the house was packed up. And then Friday, we packed more, and then Saturday, we moved.
And moving went okay?
Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of?
I mean, you know why, sort of.
I mean, you put in a truck and call it a day.
The actual move went great. The day after.
Oh, right, right, yes.
As we were putting everything away and actually settling in, I had a little bit of an incident.
A bit of a kidney stone.
Bit of a, you could call it a bit of a kidney stone.
But are you 100% now, or are you 98%?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing how, like, once it's done, it's done.
Mm.
I have never had one before. I don't know if any of our listeners have had them. It is the single worst experience I've ever had in my life, as far as pain goes. I would not recommend it.
This is probably a dumb question, but if you have a kidney stone, are you more likely to have another kidney stone?
I don't think so. I think it's just dependent on what is causing it.
Is it dependent on what you eat or drink?
It can be dependent on what you eat or drink, what you drink. It can be, some people get them chronically. If they just continuously get them.
That sounds like the life.
This is the first one I've ever had, and I'm pretty certain it was from, like, energy drinks and stuff like that.
Has your dad ever had one?
No. Okay. Nobody in my family has ever had one.
I think I asked this on a different podcast. It was runs in the family.
I'm a rare breed.
Well, speaking of rare breeds, we got some rare monsters to talk about. No monster in particular. This episode, we're going to tackle some news, and then after we do some news, we're going to do our Monster of the Week. So I think we're a little short-handed here, just because we're still doing some coverage for Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. It's super effective, the other podcast I do. So it's eating a lot of time, but we're almost done with that series. It's like a 20-part series, 20 podcasts.
I'm very sleepy.
For 20 days. We just knocked out two of those episodes. We're doing this now.
Steve is running me ragged over here.
I'm running you dry. Getting as much... Once this is all done, we're done with the 20 episodes of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. Once we're done with the plans we have for Monster Hunter World Beta, I feel like you're going to be so bored. You're going to have so much free time.
Nah, because then we got PAX and Christmas and...
Yeah.
I won't sleep probably until, like, February, which is fine, because that's when we'll get the worst snow.
Speaking of the Monster Hunter World Beta, let's start off with this before we get to news. We are going to be doing something really cool, I think, for the Monster Hunter Beta. What I came up with, and Micah agreed with, which was your first mistake, agreeing with what I suggested.
Yeah, it's fine.
Is I will be out of town for the first couple hours that the Monster Hunter World Beta will be happening.
First day, right?
Yeah, the first day. I'm gone all day Saturday, and I come back Sunday, and I will probably be jet-lagged and tired from flying. But on Monday, December 11th, Micah and I... Are you still in?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Mike and I will be doing...
Wait, Monday, December 11th?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at November, that's why.
I thought all of a sudden you were going to be like, nah, I'm out now. You said Monday.
I thought it was a Sunday.
So Monday, November 11th.
Yes.
We are going to do a 14-hour stream to honor the 14 weapons in Monster Hunter World.
That's right.
We are going to dedicate 1 hour per weapon. And on top of that, we are going to be doing a giveaway every single hour of a pin that represents that weapon. So for the hour, I think we're going to start with Sword and Shield. I think that's
the Udon pins.
The Udon pins that you could only get at PAX?
No, I think you could get them. other places.
I think they're at least exclusive to PAX for a bit.
Yeah.
Like, they debuted at PAX.
Yeah.
So they're the Udon pins. I think we'll probably start with Sword and Shield.
That makes sense.
And then we'll go through...
Noob it up.
We'll go through. So if we're doing the hour of Sword and Shield, at the end of that hour, we'll be giving away a pin to chat. And so we're going to do that. We have a pin for every single weapon. We're going to spend an hour on each weapon. It's going to be both of us on a couch. If you've watched our Thursday night streams, you'll know that we sit on the couch and one of us usually plays and the other one just usually talks and communicates with chat.
Hangs out with chat.
Because sometimes when you're hunt deep in a monster.
Hunt deep.
It's very hard to pay attention to chat.
Yeah.
Especially if you have very low life.
Yeah.
Which is like me 90% of the time. Yeah. I'm like, oh no, oh no, oh no.
Or if you're too busy off farming rocks while your whole team is actually hunting the monster.
That sounds like me too.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a 14-hour stream for the day. Now, I tried to talk to some people at Capcom. I tried to squeeze out what times the beta starts and stops. Couldn't get anything from them. Maybe they also don't know at this point.
You couldn't even get like, oh, it's going to be a constant running thing.
Yeah, I didn't get
rather
any,
than like what it, Nintendo it, does where it's I, like
I'm banking on it's going to be constant.
I hope so.
As of this podcast, bank on 14 hours. We'll probably make a Twitch event and everything for that. And we'll put that stuff in the show notes as well. So 14 hours, I'm assuming it stops at midnight.
Okay.
We'll just say midnight Central time to be safe, but really it's probably midnight Pacific time.
So what does that mean? We start at 10?
Right. It would mean we start at 10, but probably we should start at 9 because the first hour is going to be just like...
Problems.
Problems, yeah.
probably not problems. Probably just like settling in.
Right? Yeah, settling in.
Yeah.
Running through, and then that gives people time to be like, oh, I didn't know you were starting with this weapon right away. But you heard it here first. We're starting with Sword and Shield.
You heard it here first.
And it'll be cool, too, because when we get to Dual Blades, like, we'll pass off the controller, too. Because I think one of us playing the game for 14 hours is probably going to be extremely exhausting.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to be like, let's give our hands a refresh. Hey, Dual Blades is up next. I know Micah loves Dual Blades. Here's the controller. It's your hour.
Yeah. Also, if you want to pregame it, it's like the tailgating party. Like, this stream is the big game. This is the Super Bowl. You can come and tailgate with me while Steve is out of town the night before.
Yes. And Micah, yeah, Micah will be streaming the nights before, and we'll make sure we'll tweet those out and everything.
So I'll probably have a little bit of time with some weapons.
Yeah.
So I may default to, like, I'll probably take that time to play around with, like, light bow gun, which I know that you're going to want to
stay away from my baby.
Oh, I'm playing it. You're out of town. Nothing you can do to stop me.
Feel like I'm being cheated on. I'm sure there's, like obviously when the hammer comes up, I feel like that's my bread and butter.
Yeah.
Dual blades, great sword, probably you. Light bow gun, probably my bread and butter too, on stream. But I'll let you play light bow gun off stream.
Sounds like you got a lot of bread and butter.
I love both bread and butter. So that's our plan for Monday. We hope to see you guys all there. And of course, I will be continuing to stream Monster Hunter every single Thursday night, unless I'm out of town, which there is going to be... next weekend, which is the 7th of December.
Yeah.
I will be out of town, so there will be no Monster Hunter stream that night. I will be in Boston visiting some friends. But then we'll be back to the old Monster Hunter bandwagon until World comes out, and then we'll switch from Double Cross to World. But Monday, December 11th, all day, pretty much all day Monster Hunter stream.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for.
Correct.
Okay. So now that that's out of the way, then we got a second bit of news. I don't think we talked about this last week, but we, for the first time ever, Micah, we will be speaking at PAX.
Correct.
PAX South? Micah, you've never been to a PAX.
Nope. It's a PAX.
Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know. I don't know what to expect, really. I'm assuming it's like most conventions, just that it's video games. But I'm excited.
Yeah, very exciting. So I normally speak at PAX because of It's Super Effective, the Pokemon podcast I host. So I've spoken at all the PAX, PAX West twice, PAX East once. It's the first time we'll be speaking at PAX South. The Pokemon panel got approved, but our Monster Hunter panel got approved. So we will be speaking on Sunday, January 14th at 4 p.m. in the Bobcat Theater called The Carve, Bone Up on Monster Hunter.
Bone Up. Good name.
We are very excited. I don't imagine a huge turnout.
Yeah.
I take that back. We're going to have standing room only.
Yeah.
You're going to have to line up 2 days in advance.
They may have to move us to the main theater.
I think
with how many people will be pulling in.
I think they're going to bump Tycho and Gabe from PAX. They're going to move us in. And still, it's going to be standing room only.
Right. They're going to have to maybe move venues for PAX to just a stadium.
So when they said Bobcat Theater, I think they tore down a hotel, built a theater.
Yeah.
And named it Bobcat.
It's many floors. And there's video feed of us on every floor. The Carve Hotel.
The higher you go, the more you bone up.
Yeah.
So we're really, really excited for that. So that will be PAX South. That's in San Antonio, Texas. Tickets are still available.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think 3-day passes are still available. But if you only want to see us speak about Monster Hunter, it's going to be on Sunday.
Which is that a cheaper day or is it still, they're all just
price? I think it's the cheaper day.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even know if PAX South is a 3-day show or a 4-day show. I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm very, very, very excited for that stuff. So now let's get into some Monster Hunter news. I'm sorry for that long intro, but it was all Monster Hunter related. So
it was.
I would assume that you're okay with that intro because we were just talking about ourselves and we would hope that you like this show. Let's start off with some news.
Enough about Monster Hunter. Let's talk about us.
How was your Thanksgiving? This is an article off Polygon.com by Chelsea Stark. She must be from Game of Thrones, I assume.
Yeah.
Titled, Why Monster Hunter World Isn't Called Monster Hunter 5. Now, we talked a little bit about this, but this article was published on November 1st. I think we missed it in the recent hoopa of Monster Hunter.
It was a good...
I always
tied it all together.
Always throwing it back to Pokemon. I won't read the whole article. I will read the quote here by Rosio Suamato.
Riozo.
Thank you, Micah.
Tsujimoto. Oh, my gosh.
Always here. It says that Monster Hunter 5 implies the existence of Monster Hunter 1 to 4, and people will feel a certain kind of pressure to catch up on the existing games, says Riozo, Monster Hunter World's producer. If you didn't know who that was. Quote, that's going to take a long time. They may think, maybe I should not bother, or they may just feel like, hey, it's not for me. The train has left a station on the series for me. So by calling it Monster Hunter World, we're telling people it doesn't matter how much Monster Hunter familiarity you have, this is your ultimate jumping in point to the series.
3 ultimate. 4 ultimate.
5 ultimate.
Yeah.
They just skipped it all.
Yep.
How do you feel about that?
Perfectly fine. I agree with it 1,000%. As someone who has seen games come out in series before, numbered series, and looked at it and gone, and everybody will say, oh, it's such a great game. You need to play it. It's whatever. And I've been like, yeah, but I don't know what's going on. I haven't played the other ones. I would want to. And they'll still be like, no, you don't need to play them. You don't need to play them. Just go in and play whatever. Here's a good example. Yakuza.
Uh-huh. Well, don't ask me for it.
You don't really know. You don't really need to know like the full story in order to enjoy the games.
Right.
But if you were to tell someone like, oh, play Yakuza 6 because it's got all this amazing stuff in it and you can play Sega games in an arcade and you can also go on karaoke dates and you can also, slot car racing or whatever other like ridiculous stuff you can do in that game.
Kind of selling me on this game.
Really great. But for someone like me, who has like a completionist mentality, I would be like, that's the 6th one. I haven't played 1 through 5. I won't know what's going on in 6. I don't really want to, like, I don't have time for all that.
I felt the same way for Persona 5. I remember that we were sitting at Midwest Gaming Classic.
Yeah.
And I was like, everyone keeps talking about this. It seems really cool. But the whole fact that it was Persona 5 turned me off because I'd never played the first four.
Right.
I think it's smart. I think like even like a game like Final Fantasy, like I would be shocked to find somebody who goes, oh, Final Fantasy 15 is my first Final Fantasy.
Yeah. I think that there's probably more of that than we realize, but...
Well, they're not speaking up.
I mean, it's usually it's people who have had a long history with it and not a ton of people outside of that. I also think just it gives it the ability to just be its own game and be a new game to people rather than be like you don't need to know any of the history of the game.
Yeah.
You can just be like, oh, this Monster Hunter game looks cool and I'm going to play it. And then if you find out later on down the line, somebody's like, oh, did you know there were a million of these before this one? Then I could very easily see someone not knowing that.
And I think that's okay. That's yes. Totally okay.
Absolutely. Because this is clearly meant to be like the reset. Like this is it. This is the new generation. This is a new generation of people playing Monster Hunter. It's meant for veteran players, but it's also meant for people who've never played a Monster Hunter before. And so I think that's the perfect package to put it in for those people.
Also great that the Monster Hunter community is pretty welcoming, and the majority of players, at least I play with, love to help other people.
Yeah.
So hopefully new people coming in, because I hope, and I'm confident there will be a lot of new people.
Yeah.
I hope they feel welcomed.
Yeah, I hope so too. Come on in and join. Come on in and bone up.
Bone up. This article is off Silicon Era by Sato. Monster Hunter World adds the much-needed hide headgear option.
Ooh.
I'll read a little bit of the article here, but you can check it out, obviously, on Silicon Era. Fans have always asked for some sort of option to hide your headgear in Monster Hunter World, and Capcom is finally delivering with an option that lets you do so in Monster Hunter World. The game setting headgear display will let a player decide if they want to show off their hunter's headgear or not. Choosing to hide your headgear won't, obviously, result in any loss of stats or skills. With the high resolution and detailed character creation system we've seen for Monster Hunter World, this is a much welcomed feature after years of demand from fans. So it's funny because this is the complete opposite of what I want in Destiny. I hate the Destiny creator so much, and the fact that the character creator is exactly the same.
Yeah.
From D1 to D2.
Right.
And so I'm glad they have the option not to hide headgear, but to always wear headgear.
Yeah.
Because I see my guardian as a faceless person that represents me.
Yeah.
And I feel that way a lot if I cannot make the character look like me.
I agree.
Unless I'm going the complete opposite direction, like in Final Fantasy 14, where I'm a little Lalafell and I look like a cute little 6-year-old. And I love that. And so I'm okay with seeing that face, because...
Is that because internally you're a 6-year-old?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But this, we neither of us have played with the character creator, but it looks extremely detailed.
I have been okay with not having a hide headgear option in previous Monster Hunter games. Not that I've ever really, like, wanted it or looked for it or anything.
You didn't demand it?
No, I didn't even really notice that, like, because I think the gear looks cool. Like, I'm in it for, like, cool-looking gear. If I'm getting a cool helmet, like, I want to wear the cool helmet. I don't think the character creator in previous Monster Hunter games was really anything at all. Or at least anything that I made a character and I was like, I want to show this off. I'd rather just wear the cool helmet that I worked really hard to get.
Yeah.
But that's me personally, you know? So I guess I never even really knew that this was, aside from, I guess, maybe people griping about it.
I think
this was a thing that was, like, hot on people's wish lists.
I think it might matter more for people of color. Like, I know Irene absolutely loves, my girlfriend who's black, absolutely loves when she can make her character look like her.
Yeah.
Like, that was a huge thing for her in Animal Crossing or even Pokemon for the longest time, where it's like, I can't be a black girl.
But you can in previous Monster Hunters.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, that all goes away when you have your gear on. And now no one knows who you are.
That's true.
And at least for some people, like, they want that to be their identity.
Yeah. I can understand that. But also, like, the gear. You're working for this, like, cool gear. Show off that gear.
Yeah, you can show off all the gear but the helmet.
Let me be honest.
Hey, there's a sick crown in Monster Hunter World that I've seen. I want to consistently wear that sick gold crown.
All right. If I'm being honest, though, until there's a character creator like what looks like we're getting in Monster Hunter World, I don't really care what your character looks like. I care what your gear looks like. And as long as we're having fun and making cool looking gear, that's what I'm into.
I don't know. I'm into looking good.
Yeah, but I've never felt like any of my characters looked good.
What? And
I usually just default to
your me looks like you.
No, I'm saying in Monster Hunter. In the Monster Hunter character creation. I've never felt like...
Oh, in the past ones.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you there. Because there was only like 10 default guy faces.
Yep.
5 default skin colors.
Yeah. I usually just default to like, I have a pompadour and a toothpick in my mouth and that's it. Like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why, like,
it's goofy, and I'm not ever gonna get close to what I actually look like. So why would I try?
But if this does look like you, then would you be behind the whole like I want my face showing?
I mean, maybe, yeah. Like that's what I'm saying. I'm interested in it now because there's a character creator looks detailed.
Yeah, like in everyone's
I didn't
golf
care before.
Is it gonna be better than everyone's golf?
I don't
character?
Think anything is gonna be better than everyone's golf character creator. One of the greatest character creation systems of all time.
And a good game.
Yeah.
We should golf sometime.
We should.
We should just hit a couple pars. Is that what they call it?
No.
Hit a couple birdies.
Yeah.
Hit a couple eagles. That's another golf term. Let's go eagle shooting.
Popping those eggs.
Let's go pop a couple eggs. Let's go represent the USA mascot on the course.
Yep.
So a little bit more news here is that there was on a Twitch stream from 269. That's not news in itself, but they were talking about Monster Hunter. And the important thing to pick from here, and I grabbed this off Reddit, the screenshot from BB Wolf, is Sox, the community manager, was in this stream at the time. And they were talking about sprinting while using items. Specifically the potion.
Yeah.
And Sox said you can move but can't sprint while using the potion.
Okay.
So that was a big just so if you're new to Monster Hunter, just want to make this clear. Normally when you have to sheath your weapons in order to use items.
Unless you're using certain weapons.
I think only
like
the sword and shield is the only one you can use items while have it equipped, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not 100% sure on that, so...
Yeah, I wouldn't quote...
Don't quote me
on
that.
The last time I quoted something like that, I was told I was very wrong.
The more important thing is here, so normal Monster Hunter play, for the majority of players, you gotta put your weapon away to use an item. And there were some footages of characters not only using items, but moving while using items. So this is new.
Yeah.
If I put away my hammer in past Monster Hunters to drink a potion, I am a... What do they call that? I'm an easy target. I'm a sitting duck.
You're a sucker.
I'm a sitting sucker.
Yeah.
I'm easy monster bait because I cannot move or dodge until I finish drinking that potion. But in this, it seems like you can at least walk and drink at the same time. Not sprint, but walk.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that change?
Sounds good to me. As a dual blades user, that's pretty nice. It's not a great time when you're in the middle of something and you gotta sheath everything and run across the map and then drink a potion and hope that the monster doesn't, of course, because you're using an item, immediately target you and come after you and ignore everybody else that's attacking it. So that's cool.
To transition to some more Sox news.
Shout out to 269, though.
269 is great.
269, if you don't know, we've talked about Eric's on the podcast. We've had Eric's on the podcast. 269 is Eric's counterpart.
Partner in crime.
Yeah. I don't know. Partner in crime, is that? murdering YouTube crime.
Yeah, the YouTube's a crime.
Sure.
A crime of producing great content.
Good save.
Stealing my heart, Micah. Every video.
Every video.
Every video that's not The Division, because I don't really care about The Division.
269's great. I watched a lot of 269's early morning PUBG streams.
Normal time for him.
Yes.
Early morning for you.
Yes.
But to also talk about another awesome person, Sox, who is the community manager. By the way, just his Twitter, if you are interested in following some of the community managers on Twitter. Sox is at SoxyBear on Twitter. SoxyBear. He's the UK Capcom community manager. And somebody tweeted at Sox and says, will it be okay if we use the PlayStation Plus trial to play the Monster Hunter World beta, of course?
Yeah.
And Sox said, I won't tell if you don't.
Okay. So you can use the trial.
Yeah, I don't see why it would restrict it.
Right.
But I think that's just a good talking point. Mostly I think the tweet is funny. But you
pretty good.
You do need PlayStation Plus in order to play the beta.
Correct. Which, if you're not using the trial, is $60 for a year.
Right. $60 for a full year, 12 months of online gameplay access.
Unless you thought ahead and you bought your PS4 on Black Friday for super cheap in preparation for Monster Hunter World, and also purchased a very discounted PlayStation Plus membership, because all of that happened between Friday and Monday.
Sure, you can still probably find $40 PlayStation Pluses.
Maybe.
If you look.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need PlayStation Plus to play pretty much any online game.
Yeah.
Destiny 2, I'm sure you're going to need it for normal Monster Hunter World. You're going to need it to play this beta. Beta. I'm not here to sell you on PlayStation Plus, but if you're unfamiliar with it, it not only lets you play games early, or not, not only lets, we in this case, yes, it will let you play games early, but not only does it let you play multiplayer games online, but it does give you better discounts when things are on sale.
Also on pre-orders for some stuff, you get discounts.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you also get 2 free games a month. Sometimes they're good.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're NBA Live 2K18, which I'm not a fan of, but I'm sure there are hundreds, if not millions, of people who really like NBA Live.
Is that the game this month?
No, I think it was the game 2 months ago.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the games are this month. They gave Metal Gear Solid 5 away last month.
Yeah. They give some good games away.
So yeah, sometimes they're...
Also...
Sometimes they're not great, sometimes they are, but they're free games, so it's hard to complain.
They're constantly running Steam-style sales on PSN. Which means that tons of things are on ridiculous discounts, which you get a discount for whatever they're offering, and you get an additional discount as a PlayStation Plus user.
Yeah. So again, I'm not sitting here trying to sell you on PlayStation Plus.
I am. Sit down and listen up. If you're looking to get some really good games, if you're looking to have the
hot
premier
deals.
Experience of video gaming, come on down to the PlayStation Plus surplus store, where you can get all your games and all your multiplayer content just for $59.99 a year.
Sony, please sponsor us.
Not a sponsor. No, I'm not trying to push it on people either, but I do like the service, and I know that there's always this, like, especially with people who are looking to buy the game on PC. And are waiting for the PC, and maybe just that's what they're dedicated to. I know there's always kind of this like, oh, why do you have to pay for online? You don't have to pay for online if you're playing on PC, but I don't know. You get all these added benefits. Like, they know that it's not the best thing in the world to have to pay for multiplayer, so they add all these other things to it, and it's pretty nice. There are a lot of games that I bought and played that I probably wouldn't have if they weren't like discounted down to $5 or $10 from $60 on PS Plus.
Yeah, there's a lot of games I probably wouldn't even have tried if it wasn't on PlayStation Plus that I really ended up enjoying.
Yeah.
What's the last one I played a whole ton of was...
What was it? Death? Whatever?
Let It Die?
Let It Die.
No, Let It Die was free for everyone.
Oh.
But if you were PlayStation Plus, you got a bunch of bonus stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. That was sweet. Let It Die
was
really
good.
Can
you play Let It Die online without PS Plus?
No, I think you need it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
a free game.
Yeah, but it's not multiplayer. So maybe you don't need it. No, there is multiplayer stuff, but they're not like...
It's like online versus.
But you're not actually, like, you're...
Like the ghosts of other
players. Yeah, it's like it's like time trials stuff.
Right.
Yeah, but if you're a PlayStation Plus, you almost got like free bundles every single month for that game.
Yeah.
Well, I think we got one more part of the show for you,
End that ad. It's the end of that ad.
Oh, the end of that ad.
End of the advertisement.
Last part of the show here is our Monster of the Week, which this week is Diablos, which Micah picked.
I did.
And I will toss it over to Micah for some information on Diablos, and then I'll give you some trivia afterwards.
Diablos, it was introduced in the first Monster Hunter. Diablos are large bipedal wyverns with powerful armor plating covering much of their body. Their most noteworthy feature is a pair of massive, solid horns above their eyes. Diablos also possess a pair of tusk-like fangs and a large, spiny neck frill. Their tail ends with a heavy, studded club that can be used to ward off attackers. Diablos stand on a pair of stocky, wide-set legs and possess a broad upper body, complete with thick, muscular wings. Diablos have the ability to burrow into the earth and travel underground, employing this tactic to surprise unsuspecting targets or slip away from a dangerous encounter. In addition, they are capable of producing a powerful roar that will stun most aggressors. Using their powerful legs in tandem with their heavy upper body and head, Diablos can run at high speeds to charge attackers with their horns, using the powerful momentum to maximize the potential for damage. The word powerful was used frequently.
A little bit of trivia here is Diablo is said to be inspired by a kaiju, which is a giant monster, I think, in Japanese.
Yeah.
Although no particular one was mentioned. In addition, its head and face seem to be inspired by the skulls of Ceratopsians, as well as the tusk of Prickridorms and boars. These are dinosaur scientific names.
You did it. You nailed it.
If Diablos is hit while underground with a bomb or a boomerang and is staggered, it will have the same effect as a sonic bomb. Diablos has appeared in every Monster Hunter game except for Monster Hunter Diary, Monster Hunter 4, and Monster Hunter Generations.
The more you know.
And usually I tell you what Monster Hunter games that Diablos is in, but that last bit of trivia just summed it up. And that was off, of course, the Monster Hunter Wiki.
Get those bellies, get those tails. Get that neck,
and
go for the wings.
It's like a herbivore, isn't that the big thing about
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I picked it, though, because it's coming back in Monster Hunter World.
It is?
It's also one of my favorite monsters.
And some big old horns.
Yeah. So it kind of works, because maybe if you didn't know about it until now you know a little bit about it, and you can be semi-prepared for it pre-Monster Hunter World.
People really like Diablos.
It's a great monster.
It's really cool. Well, I think that will wrap up our episode.
That'll bone up our episode.
We normally tell you the schedule, but I think we did that at the beginning of this episode this time.
Yeah.
The PAX stuff was exciting. I was excited to do that.
Yeah.
Excited to share that we're going to do that big stream. Hopefully
it's a big
you guys
deal.
Can attend.
I sound like I'm not excited about it, but I promise you that I am. I'm just very tired.
Very tired. I've podcasted
all
you
of
out.
The, so much has happened in the last... between podcasts and moving and ER visits and... the amount of pain pills, it's just, I'm very tired. Ready for this week to be over.
So, yeah, I think we're ready for this episode to be over. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow Micah on Twitter, at Micah the Brave. You can follow me on Twitter, at Dragging a Lake. And if you want to follow our podcast on Twitter to stay up to date with episodes, or we do tweet out news from time to time, or at least retweet news if it exists, you can do so at Carve Podcast on Twitter. We also have a Facebook page if you want to like us there, facebook.com/carvepodcast. That's a thing.
Ooh.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Facebook. Branching out.
People still use it.
I guess.
But I think that will be our show. So hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on carving those monsters.
The Carve is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork for The Carve was created by Micah, the co-host of this show. The music by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy The Carve, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcasts or tell a fellow hunter about us. If you'd like to support The Carve, you can do so at patreon.com/carvepodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you'll gain access to our Discord to bone up with other hunters who listen to the show. Big shout-outs to The Carve's Life Powder supporters, Austin B, Kay, Gavin M, Carly, and Brandon. Thank you all for listening.